I'm starting from the other direction, though. Not from the ones that are external to the side. It's starting from this side, which is one side.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
they're both one plus one.
Thank you.
Yes, you have to.
There are all kinds of finicky formulations of them.
Yes. And all sorts of constructions by stages up there. I have lots of questions I'd like to ask, particularly about the accident of choice, but I think I'm going to wait until I've sat through and talk a bit more. I'm staying with a friend at William Street, although it does seem that in the case of top losses without any accident at all, that there are. Well, he arranged the whole thing, I see. It can only have improved since I was last here. What can I get you?
Well, I think I'll do it. Don't get stuck.
Yeah, okay. Right, I was thinking, it's okay, fine, what's all right? Okay, copper stones, please. And, what I was going to ask you about, it was a very general conceptual level, about whether there have been any developments since 1973, Gorbea's case, in the... No, I wouldn't say much of that, I've been seeing a lot more of Gorbea's case for that. That was very interesting, but they were mostly parallel constructions. I was thinking, from a general conceptual level, about Tom Wiley without the accident of choice, the ways in which there were, when the ecomorphisms don't split as a full product, and the variety of ways in which they can split when they don't split as a full product, which was touched on very briefly at the end, talking about weakness, the weakness of the AC, there is. The way in which the domains of variation function can be patched together in the case where ecomorphisms don't split, and whether there was any, whether there's anything of interest going on there in the case of non-linear or not. Oh.
Yeah.
Very few interesting things that you can prove, admittedly.
And that's my principal interest. I mean, in Boolean, that's as well. But I mean, there are obvious. Yeah, inclusion, right, exactly.
Now, yes, well, there's lots of you can ask for, but that's what you can do. Although, if not close to the time, and that's. Rather, a weakening of the. Also, weakening of the spectrum of the proposition that supports the. Yes, and the conversation, local conversation, which is very, very important, and the rational.
Yes.
And it implies that. It doesn't apply to the
people, but it
implies that.
Yes.
It's
complex. Yeah.
And it implies further that.
It's still a book.
Some objects are one.
Yes. Form generated. Yes. Right. Form generated. Form generated. Oh, no. Form of one. Just form of one.
So to that extent, the
I mean, one is still a generator in that sense.
Well, generator is something deep in time. For example, the kind of value tokens.
Oh, yes, that's
in which, one is only so long as one.
Oh, yes.
It supports don't really split. You can't really distinguish that from one, quite that's from one.
Yeah.
But internally, it's not.
Yeah.
If so long is the generator, then it would be Boolean, because as soon as so long is generated, so long is one. Arguably, every time somebody presents a function, they can test the various Boolean equations by
So in that sense, in fact, stone ladders is in fact more general than Boolean algebra.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that you can,
What do I mean by stone ladders? Just for the record, is the equation.
So which is why it satisfies them all.
Well, that's right.
That's right. That's right.
So, Boolean is so far as complement. Complement satisfies the difference. So, there's local.
You have complementation defined, but you're restricted in a sense element. There's no weaker version of copper than that. That is in any stronger sense than that one doing it. In terms of that's the point that I was making about the way in which the domains of variation have to be patched together in the case where having all different depths of it. I mean, they still require, in order to define the pattern together, you still need at least that much, I mean, as a Boolean, in a sense that you need to be able to define complements in that sense, even if you can't define elements in the sense of the I was thinking of non-commutative algebras actually, in the sense in which complements still define all non-commutative algebras.
Very little has been done.
About all
things.
Oh, so have I. You've, yeah, so now, well, okay, now we come back into the critic. So have I. In fact, that is my area of research, and I've also been getting absolutely nowhere. Absolutely nowhere at all. And yet it seems to me that, and I thought about it, I should explain, actually, my background, I did maths part one when I was up there, and then changed doing philosophy part two, and in fact been working for the last 2 years at the Bedford in London, in philosophy department, a philosophical division of my interest was originally in the area of quantum logic. And it was sort of intense dissatisfaction with the really conceptual state of the foundation of that subject, which got me interested in abstract algebra again. So I went to, I came back to the conference, and that is how I came to be interested in Topper. But as you say, there seems to be nothing at all that...
There's nothing at all that gets around
No, nothing at all. I have spent long nights... One of the objects and it has matter. Ah, the set theorist's case against category theory is vindicated.
And it has some
in what sense is it not a category? I mean, in the sense that you can't define composition if you have objects. I mean, one must
go. He has a construction which provides that they work in a category in part. That is,
not from purely arbitrary
You start with
but at least you can even define a totally arbitrary matrix unless you
know.
Some notion of orthogonality. It's usually different. I mean, one usually assumes that one has to have a prior notion of composition to find in order to get a distinction between orthogonal
and purely. There's simply no obvious way to compose maps unless the three objects in question, which are not elements of the lattice, but instructions.
Of all sizes, yes, I understand that.
If they're somehow localized to a particular element of the lattice, chain of the three elements have some essential kind of implementation, then it becomes clear what to do for that. It's analogous, I think, in some ways. It must be analogous to the problem that given the spectral relations of the subject and operators, the lattice itself is in the other case, unless the subject and operators agree, you have the hardest idea of what to do for the spectral relations to itself, which is still something.
Yes.
part of in such a way that by occasionally
yes, that's right. Yes, my and I'm sorry, I was thinking of you in conjunction with John Jenkins, and I'm very, very Les Majesté, I'm sorry.
It's
Basil West Frank.
Basil Jenkins.
Yes. Careful lest you provoke. Yes, but you're here for the set day. You are here. What are you doing now? Sorry, where? Here in Cambridge? In tonight? What are you actually engaged on today?
I'm working on software.
Oh, join this. Which one? Sinclair, do you know John Cameron? He was an application with Department 3, I think he's saying the other house, he was in Postman. He was software for Sinclair until very recently, but he's now gone to Rapport, or Raquel. He moved on about 2 years. He lives in St George's Square in London. Ah, you haven't been with him all that?
No.
He moved on about 2 years ago. He was in Peter House. He's now designing communication systems for the NOD.
I ask because...
Not the ones that you design the software system for, eh?
Several years ago,
Do they actually use their? Do they think they have? I mean, use their own design? No excuse at all. There's no way that you can define the company.
I'm going to be a little bit.
two can tune in to, you know, to Radio Tirana, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess the range in the States is miscellaneous.
Well, whereas they're really only starting in Europe at 300.
What are the Europeans, I mean, what do the Europeans use for 100, 150 hertz range for them?
God, I am socialized in medicine, that's probably why they wouldn't. As low as that, yeah. I see. Yeah. I didn't realize it was low. That's it. Hi, Cliff. Yes, long time ago. Friends, stroke acquaintance of John. Just at the moment, not very much. apart from having come up here, catch one or two of the vectors in this conflict. I finished my MPhil about a year ago, 8 months ago, and sort of got it, and have a job at Chelsea, Chelsea College, one day a week, and the rest of the time I make my living with a London tourist now. I also have a small company which arranges specialised tours, mostly for Italians, Scotland and Ireland. The Italians coming from Italy, yes. Yes. We do about 10 a year. We have a special Italian speaking guy who's, you know, he's loving Italian art students and art historians, people like that, a museum. That's my mentor. Perfunctorily engaged in doing the PhD at Bedford. Philosophy of science. Poor Basil.
That, of course, is the thing, and that, I imagine, is the principal market, isn't it? No? Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, you mean the reputation which they acquire is such that in a very, very short time they're nominated by Witcher's World's Worst Buy. Radical new departure, really. And hitherto, it was only in the Soviet Union that they sort of manufactured things which didn't work as a matter of principle. What do they cost now? No, well, I mean any sort of yes, it would be about to say, like, it's the cheapest pair of products. Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, it's because dollar keeps coming down, doesn't it, unfortunately. I keep on thinking of 180, but of course it's now 193, isn't it? Because British manufacturing. What? Well, because of because it has a smaller market base. This is a loss leader, I know. I mean, that loss is particularly in an area like that, where obviously, you know, it's a new product and there's a, you know, market penetration is all important, therefore, I just really quite like that.
Yeah.
The only trouble is that everything they sell is also undercut by the cartridge.
I mean, everything.
What, even with a dollar in present state? Yeah. I was going to say, if the yen starts to think goes on rising much further, if you take a bit of luck, we'll be able to sort of start knocking things into Japan. Right, okay. I'll see you around tomorrow. Yes, I was going to say, I need to push off too, actually. That's something I must see at 7.
What are these
It comes as amazing to reflect, but you don't. Well, simply, you have to buy a television receiving license on account of, obviously, the BBC doesn't have advertising revenue, so therefore it has to be financed directly from life. They've just applied for a 40% increase. Last year, the BBC is such a crappy organisation. To balance itself with its own budget. There's a £25 a year, $50 a year license for colour. And I think it's either 11 or 14. I didn't have a television. I think it's either 11 or 14 for black and white. They have to buy it at the post office every year.
They have
it just a post office. The post office have a whole fleet of detection vans which go cruising around. It's really more sort of thing the Barry Goldwater would really capitalise on in terms of
showing a television set on top of which little country.
Yeah.
But between the television set and the radio antenna, there is a labeled television detection device.
The post office have a fleet of detector vans, and the post office being the licensing authority for all the things. And they have a fleet of detector vans with which they cruise around areas, sort of checking wherever apparatus is in operation, wherever there is a TV receiver.
They can tell
which channel is which. I mean, they can tell. Oh, sure, quite easy. I mean, that's technology for that is 30 years.
Okay, so you can have three TV sets and just pay the license for one.
Good point. I'm not sure.
Because you only have one.
I think you. No, I know. I think in fact that you have. I think you have only one. I think you have more than one television. It is a television receiving license. It's a household television receiving license. You can suck up as many sets as you like. There are very, very few people have that. A lot of people. We've only got three channels anyway. But you don't have a whole fleet of television detector vans that just cruise around. And they just have a list. And they cruise down the street. They have a list of who in that street has got a television. They do have a television license. They find somebody who's got a television system. Not quite as bad as that, but they do sort of turn up at the door and say, may we see your television license, please, sir or madam. Yeah, I mean, the chances you're actually getting caught are about 100 to 1. Right, obviously. Yeah, I mean, in a block of flats it's impossible, but in a suburban street it's quite easy. And in fact, I don't know how accurate IFP is, but I imagine that it's possible to get it down even within an apartment block. Probably. Not from the street, no. That's true. A lot of apartment blocks, a lot of big apartment blocks, certainly five of the owned apartment blocks, the
the landlord actually pays for a license for the entire block and includes it in the cost of the rent for the block. And that's where a lot of big apartment blocks work. But I mean, only a very small portion of the population are aware that the resolution is such that it can actually fail inside the apartment block. Right, exactly. But I mean, again, they are rather careful not to publicise that. I mean, it's the same reason they're rather careful not to publicise the fact that you know the right combination. You can dial a telephone call anywhere in the world, you can dial Australia. You can spend 30 minutes on the road. There's a marvellous chart, which I have to do that, which is misappropriation of electricity. grand larceny of electricity. No, I think it's only
it's
even more metaphysical than that here. It's a larceny of electricity. Larceny of electricity owned by the post office is marvellous. Shows, the, as I say, the, you know, the metaphysical framework of people who... You know, the idea of electricity being a form of real property, a substantive commodity, which is magnificent. But... In fact, I mean, they do not, of course, have a vast fleet of the petrol vans they have. I don't know how many had an operation, but you now have to produce a current television licence by law when you buy a new set. But that, again, is quite a thing to enforce because I mean, they can shop. I mean, what incentive is there to enforce it? Yeah, but I mean that would presumably, I mean that would be regarded as underhand and totally unacceptable. Therefore, they won't do so. There's virtually no incentive to operate that anyway.
Or the shop to be entitled to some licenses.
They reckon that they lose about 12 million a year license revenue due to season license revenue. Because they've now got this, they're now going to have a fourth channel, which they just had a white paper. Which announced that they were definitely going to set up a fourth channel in the next 2 years, which is intended to be self-financing, which is intended to have sponsorship, but not advertising. Well, whether it'll actually work, I'm really not sure. Very awkward.
It has sponsorship.
Right. Well, the idea is that it will be mostly the community groups, as I spoke about earlier, the open broadcast programs, which will be made on Shoestring. Well, exactly. But that is one of the few good things about British television. Although all television is fairly calculated to cause severe brain damage. All British television on the whole is calculated to cause milder, so it's less severe. That's all. It's like brain damage than I think many other journalists. It's very, very amusing actually when the commercial comes. There's one question now. Their contracts come up for renewal, the licences, the government passes out the licences every 5 years. Every 5 years the licences are called in and they're issued again to a new sort of operator that they can compete for them. And the criteria they have to compete for, they have to produce so much programming which satisfies these criteria, which retain a fair proportion of accrued benefits. And for about 3.5 years, most of the commercial companies just produce their commercial campaign. And then in the last year, companies suddenly start staging Parsifal in its entirety 6 weeks from the time that the licenses have been recorded and renewed. You'll get the magic flute and. Parsifal its entirety, and really sort of heavy documentaries. At the moment, TED, which is one of the companies which normally has nothing but Huey Green, it's sort of top knots, and chat shows, and a lot of situation comedy, a lot of important things. In the last 6 months before the license is due, is doing sort of a 7-week documentary, 1.5-hour episodes each week, about the drafting of the new programme of the British Communist Party, which is by a guy called Roger Bright, who is one of the top documentary filmmakers, which, as I say, consists of about 1.5 hours for 7 weeks. internal workings of the British CP, and that, I mean, must be the brewer's benefit of all the time. Right? Well, again, much more sensible. You might indeed. As it is, they're just bearing from region to region. Anyway, I must have to move on. Lots of things I would like to ask you about. People have been fairly petty, very.
Is to serve as a foundation.